Welcome to our sermon preview. I'm Dan Jarms.
I'm Nathan Thierry.
And we're going to be talking about our last part in our Back to Basics series in the part of the family of God. And Nathan, what's our big topic for the weekend?
Discipling convictions. These are the convictions that we want to drive us in our ministry to each other, our personal ministry. We each, as part of the body of Christ, have a ministry, and we want to talk about what does that ministry look like? What should those relationships look like? What are the key components that need to be present in our discipling relationships?
Yeah, and we use the word discipling because it's a vernacular Faith Bible Church, which really means helping people learn Christ. It's in our passage today. That's what we do. We don't learn an abstract set of principles or theological statements or an abstract set of doctrines that we just list out and say yes or no to. We actually learn a person. Mm-hmm. And all of those things that help memory help us know a person, Jesus Christ. So we want to help people know him. So we have thought about these convictions in a sense to simplify them so any one of us can take them on. So my sermon this week, Nathan set it up in our growth guides, is going to follow three basic convictions. So if we're going to help people learn Christ, have a deeper and better relationship with him, follow him and obey him, what are those three, Nathan?
Yeah, the three are know, speak, and live.
So why don't you explain those really quick?
We want to know each other well so we can love each other well. We can understand what each other needs in terms of encouragement, teaching, correction, strengthening. So like, you know, if you're a parent, you need to know your kid so that you can help them in particular ways to grow into becoming a godly young man or young woman. So we want to know each other well so that we can speak the word of Christ to each other. We can speak God's word to each other, speak the truth of the gospel to each other, and help each other to really understand and see what we need to be believing about Christ and about his word so that we can then live it out. The goal of all of this is to live Christ-like lives, to learn Christ, to submit ourselves to Christ and to his lordship and to become like him. So we want to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So every single one of us has a responsibility to know others and be known, to speak the word to each other and to hear it from each other and to help each other live it out.
So the main idea for this weekend is that effective disciple making is to know and be known. So point one of my outline is to know and be known. Mm-hmm. And I think of a great place as a prerequisite to start for that is in the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs uses this little phrase, the man of understanding, talking about the wise person. But there's a host of things that are important if we're going to be truth speakers. So for instance, the one who speak before he's heard is considered a fool. Mm. You know, it's hearing somebody and really understanding them before I speak to them that's really crucial. The purpose of a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out, Proverbs 20, verse 5. And when we think of speaking the truth, what we want to do is speak the truth to someone in a timely way that mm-hmm. is going to impact their life at a point they need it. And again, Proverbs 15:23 says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man. Like to be given the right truth at the right time or given the truth in the right way for the right issue, boy, that is... Mm-hmm. I think the word is, in one of the other Proverbs is, it's like apples of gold and settings of silver. Like it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So that proverb, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man and a word in season, how good it is. So you actually have to have that call to know and be known isn't in Ephesians 4. The call to speak and live is. But we're just not going to do it well without knowing. That second part, speaking, as you think about Ephesians 4, Nathan, what's the atmosphere of that speaking? What are we speaking?
Yeah, as you and I behold Christ, like 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we know him, as the word of Christ dwells in us richly, like Colossians 3:16 says, we can then speak of Christ to others. So someone is discouraged about their battle with sin. I need to be able to speak to them about what Christ has done on the cross to conquer their sin, to forgive them, his resurrection, his ascension, how he's victorious and wants to help them. I need to speak to my grieving brother or sister about how God cares for them and wants to comfort them and the hope that they have. We need to speak to each other from the riches that God has put in our own hearts through us treasuring his word and meditating on his word and hearing his word. So it's really important to be filled up with God's word so I can then speak it to others. And that's not just the pastor's job or the elder's job. That's all of us as members of the body of Christ. We are to speak, it's like Ephesians 4:15 says, to speak the truth to each other in love, to live it out and speak it.
Yeah, and that attitude or that atmosphere, like the speaking the truth in love. So however we speak the truth, which could be correction, rebuke, training in righteousness, as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 would say, reprove, rebuke. I mean, those are strong words, but if they are motivated by love and intended to love, that's going to shape us well. And it's a great contrast, because false teachers, false doctrine, like the devil himself, is cunning and deceitful and scheming to destroy. But that's not the Christian community. We speak the truth in love. Nathan, what's that third issue? So we talk about living that new life that we live.
Yeah, we want to live out what we have in Christ. He's made us righteous. Now we want to live practically as righteous people by his grace. And so how do we help each other with that? I think a lot of times we stop at, I'm going to share where I need to grow, and then you're going to pray for me, and then we'll leave it there, which is wonderful. We should share and we should pray. But then there's more. We can help each other live this out by speaking principles. Like if I need to grow in a particular area of parenting, you can speak into that and share with me how God's helped you. Help me to live it. You can give me advice and counsel. You can ask me questions and prompt me towards practical steps. And there's just all kinds of things we can do. Any number of things we can encourage each other throughout the week. We can follow up. And all those are ways we can help each other live out the word of Christ together. And so it's really important that we think about how are we doing with applying this, with not just being hearers, but being doers. And that's an important part of our ministry. We need more skill in that.
What I love about the passage, so we're going to hit 15 through 16 on speaking, then 17 through 24 on living. And Paul makes this contrast, no longer live as the Gentiles do. And he runs this grocery list of sinful thinking and sinful living. And says, but instead put on these things. So he uses this put on, put off metaphor, which is, it's really a clothed in dirty, gross clothing and taking that off and putting on clean clothes. That's the metaphor.
Yeah. What do you need to put off? How can you renew your mind with truth? And then what do you need to put on because of Christ and his work? And we can help each other with that.
One of the things that I love about the picture is that we are growing up into him, into Christ, who's the head. Meaning we're bringing everything under the headship of Christ. And then there's a transformation where we become more and more like Christ. So all the diversity that's in the church, the one family resemblance that is going to be there in eternity is we're all going to be like Christ. So we're striving to be more and more and more of that. Mm-hmm. And what that does, what the Apostle Paul says, is that manifests the glory of God in Christ and in the church, because the church is his bride. The church is the brothers and sisters of Christ, you know, thinking about the various pictures.
Yeah.
So the outworking of that is when we go to speak the gospel to an unbeliever and they see the transformation that's ongoing in our lives as Christians, they go, that gospel's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You mean God could rescue me too from all these issues that I've got? Yeah, mm-hmm. He could. And he could change me and he can give me hope. So as we grow in Christ-likeness, the power of our testimony becomes louder and louder.
Amen.
Next, John and I are going to talk a little bit about our giving emphasis for this fall and hopefully some projects we can take on at church. Welcome to the studio, John.
Hey, thanks, Dan, and everyone listening.
John's here specifically because one of the projects that we're looking at has to do with his purview in worship ministry. John, when you got here and you saw the age of our building and what we needed in the auditorium specifically, what did you see and what are you excited about getting done?
Well, it's not even just so much what I see as I think back to the day we met, Dan, in Louisville, Kentucky. Before I'd ever seen the building, you were telling me about Faith Bible Church, and one of the things you mentioned was, yeah, we have church in a gym, but we do the best we can. So, you know, arriving here and seeing the way that this room that was never designed to be a sanctuary has been working for so long, I'm always wanting to think through how can we take what we have and make it work best for us. And, you know, I know there's been desire for choir and orchestra. God has brought us a lot of gifted people who want to be involved, and we have a little stage. And so it takes more space to do those kinds of things. We've got almost 100 kids showing up on Wednesday nights for children's choir already. We want to have a place to put them. So as I'm thinking through creative use of the space we have, I'm also noticing and talking to others who have seen that the equipment that we have, lights and sound equipment, is largely what was here when the building was constructed in 1997,
yeah.
I think. So
finished.
Yeah, the fact that all this stuff still works is a great testimony to the people who have served before me in this area of taking good care of our equipment, making it last. But it is reaching the end of its life expectancy. And so as we look to the future for creating spaces that are going to best facilitate the ministry that we want to do, we want to prepare to use our space and our money wisely so that we can facilitate another generation of excellent ministry in the space that God's given us.
Yeah, and we're talking about equipment that's really, really expensive.
Yeah, and so what a lot of churches do is wait till things don't work, and then if they don't have, they have neither the money nor the time to do it well. And so we wanted to start planning for doing things on a time frame that works for us, and that also gives us a lot more flexibility with budget when we're not up against we have to replace this right now.
Yeah, so when we think about it, I'll kind of give you the big picture. The elders see a variety of things. We knew that sound and lighting was going to need to be replaced in the near future. We have HVAC, you know, our heating, ventilation, air conditioning, that is on borrowed time officially when they think of typical lifespans. We've got carpeting in places that was original and should have been replaced twice by now because carpeting's expensive. And then we think of potential expansions that really would help facilitate better ministry, like expanding out our foyer or expanding how we use various rooms. And you see some of that going on as a church. We've been changing up children's ministry. But when we just add those things together, we know that all of those have a price tag. And when a large gift came to us this summer, and somebody who wanted to help the church out, they said, do we have any needs? And we said, oh boy, does the building have needs? So a large, generous gift got us to launch that lighting and sound revamp, the upgrades and the necessary changes. So that's really exciting. So what we're asking right now is if you would pray about and consider giving toward that, not quite a matching fund, but boy, if we could match, wouldn't that be great? But big picture, $60,000 for HVAC, probably a little bit more by now. Well, those are early estimates. $100,000 for new carpeting upstairs and downstairs in the Ed Wing. Again, these are just ballpark numbers, but they're going to be that or more. Finish out things in the children's wing, it's going to be $150,000 more. To finish out things in a foyer, might be $30,000. So these are big chunks. Imagine what could happen if we could raise $100,000, what that would do. We're already putting money away toward it as a church in that reserve account, but all of a sudden we could act. And so that's why we thought it would be really helpful to think about this. John, help us think a little bit about giving. I don't have $400,000. Like, do I have to really match that?
No, not at all. You know, when we talk about being a part of a project like this, there's a bunch of us. It's one of the joys of being part of a church is that each person is differently gifted, differently blessed, differently able to contribute. Many of us are, and probably most of us, are not going to be in a position of giving a six-figure gift. And that is, if you can do that, great. We would love it. We would welcome it. But that's not most of you listening today. Most of you are in a different position, and we just want to encourage everyone to prayerfully consider what you can do. You know, one of my favorite stories already out of this campaign is that the very first designated gift that came in when we had our night of worship, the first time that we really asked people to start praying about this, was a $5 gift from a second grader who just wanted to give what she had to help make this a place that she and others will be able to enjoy for another generation, which is really exciting. And, you know, if $5 is what you can give, great. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us to give a particular amount. It tells us to give with a cheerful heart. and her heart was so cheerful. And I can't wait to see the look on her face when she gets to see what her contribution helped to do.
Yeah, that's exciting. So how to do that, how to get involved with our fall giving emphasis. You can obviously use the website and the giving there. It will be titled something about capital campaign / fall giving emphasis, something like that. You'll be able to see it. You could do that on your check as well. Capital campaign giving emphasis, and that's all going to go toward pushing ahead needed projects. That's what it's going to be used for. Eternal things happen in the church, and we want them to function well. So giving to brick and mortar is a good way in time to affect eternal things. If we steward the spiritual well, then that money's going to good use. All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you.